Blog Talk Radio.
August 29th, 2012. Man, I got up so early, I'm going to make all kinds of mistakes. August 29th, 2012. Anyway, before we get going, I want to tell you about something. You know how the coaches are always telling you that you have to have some personality? And I see some bozos on Twitter or Facebook, they say, I won't hire a boring person. I won't hire someone who isn't interesting. Well, you know what? Neil Armstrong died this week, and in case you're stupid, Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon. He was 82 years old. He died on August 25th, and I read all the stories about him, and everyone said that he was not Mr. Personality. He did not have an exciting personality. Buzz Aldrin, who went on the moon with him, said he was one of the quietest, most private men he ever met. John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth, described Neil Armstrong as brilliant but retiring. He said Neil didn't like the limelight, and yet somehow somebody thought he was good enough to lead the biggest publicity stunt in history, landing men on the moon. He was good enough for that, right? The U.S. wanted to put a man on the moon, and for some reason, they picked him. So what does that tell you? You don't have to be good at small talk to get hired. No! Sometimes if you schmooze, you lose! And now, Jerry, can you tell me, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
It's Laura Fezzer's birthday.
Happy birthday, Laura! She's in New York, right?
What?
She's in New York.
No, Calgary.
No, she's in New York. Visiting New York. She's in New York.
She's probably not even listening today.
Yeah, she's not listening. Okay. Anyway, but Eric Putkonen, I hope, is listening. Eric, are you there?
I am.
Anyone call you Putty? Has that ever been your nickname?
Never has.
How about on the show? Is that okay if I call you Putty?
I guess.
Okay, that doesn't sound like a yes to me. You know, that's a Finnish name, Putkonen. Am I right?
It is, yes.
Do you have a strong Finnish heritage, or is that way back in your history?
Oh, pretty much, you know, two generations ago, they came over here and basically Americanized and left everything.
Uh-huh. I see, because I once knew a guy, very Canadian, who was Finnish, and it was very important to him. I didn't know there was anything distinctive about a Finnish heritage, but he said the word sisu meant a lot to him. It means strength. It's the name of a vitamin. Anyway, we'll leave that behind. You know, did you bring a song, Eric? We're going to start off with a song.
I did not.
Do you know Strangers? Do you know Strangers in the Night? It's a lot like Recruiting, that song. You meet somebody who's strange, and before you know it, you're working together. Do you know that song?
No, I don't at all.
Okay, but you're going to follow me. I'm not even going to sing the words. Frank Sinatra did it in 1966, and he had a verse that was just shooby dooby doos. I'm going to do a line of shooby doo, and you're going to imitate me. Is that okay?
I can do follow along, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so I'll do it, and then you'll do it. Does anybody else want to do Strangers in the Night with us? Who's on the line? Anybody? Okay, let's get going. Shooby dooby doo. No, you wait till I finish, okay? And then you do yours, okay? Shooby dooby doo. Be dooby dooby. Okay, you do it.
How'd that go again?
Let's do it together.
What was the first part?
I don't even know the song. I'm like, what?
That's Jerry knew that song. It's a famous song. Strangers in the night, two lonely people. Strangers in the night. Anyway, another
Shooby
song down
bag.
The drain. You know, what kind of people are recruiters? Either they don't know one song, or they're too, they don't have any guts to sing. I don't understand it. Aren't recruiters supposed to be forward kind of people? Eric, Putty?
I'm actually an introvert at heart.
You're an introvert. Now, how does that work for recruiting for you? What's the advantage or disadvantage about being an introvert in a recruiting field?
You know, I'm not sure if it's really an advantage or disadvantage. It's just something I've had to cope with.
Well, I'll tell you what, apparently an advantage for an introvert. Listen to me. I'm going to give you the information. You're coping with it. Here's the advantage. Introverts don't mind saying no to people. They're kind of cold fish. And, you know, you're no good for this job. It doesn't hurt you to say that, right?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Actually, I would agree with that. It is pretty easy for me to say no. And then you know, at times people
you know, can
say,
you talk a bit louder? Are you on a good phone?
Okay. I think
can we just have
phone.
A conversation about personality?
What? Mike?
Didn't we just have a conversation about personality?
You want to have a conversation? I don't understand what you're saying.
He said, didn't we just have a conversation about personality?
No,
perhaps
we
implying...
When did we have it? And it's always relevant. With every recruiter, they have personalities. You want to know if they're good for the job or not. This guy's an introvert. He's kind of self-centered. He doesn't mind saying, no, I don't want you. Whereas some, you know, extroverts, some of them are like puppy dogs. And, you know, they want to please everybody and be the center of attention. They don't want to say no. That's not so good.
That's
okay.
The story of my dating life, wanting to please everybody.
The story of your dating life. Oh, okay, Mike, I can barely hear you. You're on some lousy phone. But, Eric, it's time we introduce you. Your website is MinnesotaTechJobs.com. MinnesotaTechJobs.com. On Twitter, you're MinTechJobs or ePutkonen. Nobody knows what, you know, how to spell Putkonen. But you know what? If you go to the page for this show, it's there, ePutkonen. And also there's a couple of videos that I got from you. Teddy the Asshole Cat, I got that off your Twitter. Anybody watch it yet?
Did you? How? I don't know if I've seen that.
Yeah, well, it was your most recent Twitter post from August 15th. And Terry the Asshole Bird. Anyway, I never put anything like that on there before, and I have to thank you for it. Listen, you give us your elevator pitch. I'm not doing very well at my intro. You tell us who you are, and talk loud. You don't seem. Are you on a landline?
I only own a landline.
Well, if you're going to be on a lousy phone, you better speak up, okay?
I don't think I'm on a lousy phone. Yes, you are.
I'll tell you what a lousy phone is. I can't hear you clearly. I'm straining, okay?
Okay, well, I've been a recruiter now about 10-odd years or so. Last year, I launched Minnesota Tech Jobs, which is an IT niche board, obviously, by the name. And I tend to focus probably more on the marketing side than the raw sales pitch side of recruiting. And so, you know, I tend to like recruitment advertising, candidate experience, that kind of thing. And that's kind of the nutshell, 15 seconds.
Are you a recruiter?
I am.
You actually recruit people. You just don't write ads, right?
Well, I mean, the job board is kind of a side business, so...
No.
You know,
just said, oh, come on, okay, forget it. You know what? Jerry called me before the show, and he said, did you hear Ann Romney speak last night? And I said, what do I care what Ann Romney said? She's the wife of the candidate. She's not the candidate. Well, you know, if I interview somebody, I don't want him bringing his wife or the woman bringing her husband. What does Ann Romney have to do with anything? What's your opinion about that, Eric? Should we be bringing the spouse into the interview?
Well, I didn't bring my wife.
Okay, anybody else got an opinion about that? Eric's the introvert. You know, I should ban introverts from the show. Anybody else saw Ann Romney and she changed her mind? I want to hire her husband because of what she said?
I saw parts of it, not impressed.
Okay. Jerry tweeted about it this morning.
Oh, he told me about it as well. Okay, Eric, you know, here's something. I posted 3 pictures of you on the show page, on recruitinganimalshow.com. One of them is with you laughing, and that one's pretty good. You get a very good feeling about you. The second one, you look so sober, like an undertaker. It's a bit scary. Why did you put that one online?
Is that the one where I'm in a suit?
Yeah.
For some reason, when I'm in a suit, all the humors get just sapped right out of me. I don't know what that is about.
Okay, you've got some humor in you because you haven't shown it so far, right?
Well, I've got humor in me, yeah. I'm not in a suit today.
Okay. Anybody got a question for Eric or want to say something so far?
General question.
Go ahead.
How's the market up there, Eric?
I would say Minnesota is doing pretty well. I mean, it's been steadily heating up, and it's doing far better than compared to nationwide average. So, I mean, especially in IT, it's near full employment. It's just nuts up here.
Really? Jerry, would you agree with him about that?
I don't know anything about Minnesota, but
really?
The Midwest here is rocking.
You live next door to Minnesota. I thought you're the king of Michigan and Ohio and Indiana, no?
Yes, I am. And Minnesota was not listed there.
That's the cutoff point. Alan Fuhrer,
yeah.
Any other follow-ups for that question?
No, I'm just listening to you, Guru.
Okay. You know what? I got to tell you something. I saw a Twitter posting by Trish McFarland. Sorry, maybe I shouldn't mention her name. And it was called 50 Shades of Social. And I guess it was to a blog posting, but I knew right away that it was from a reference to the porno book, 50 Shades of Grey, which is about sexual sadomasochism. And I said, boy. And, you know, I watched a video with Martin Amis, the author, and he said the saturation of the culture with pornography is going to change sexuality from here on in. And then I see this Twitter posting for an HR topic, social media, and it's got a reference to a porno book, a weird one. I'm wondering if that's going to affect recruiting anyway. What do you think, Eric?
That's more of a marketing ploy. 50 Shades of Grey is just a hot search term right now, and so somebody incorporated it for better SEO and stuff. But
it has no broader meaning.
I think someone is just getting cute and trying to capture
okay,
on a
next
hot
question.
Topic.
Next question. If you're a corporate recruiter, right?
Yes.
You work inside a company. How many recruiters in your firm?
70 or 80.
Okay, what if you're on a team of corporate recruiters and you think one of them or more is not really holding up his end? What would you do? Or her end?
Well, as pretty much recruiting is pretty much an individual performance kind of thing, I'd probably mind my own business and leave it to the manager.
Well, leave it to the manager. So you don't work on a team for a big project or anything like that, because I have worked on teams on contract too. Recruiting firms or executive search firms for big projects when they brought in a lot of extra people. And, you know, if someone wasn't doing something, so sometimes we divided the work into a chain or like a process, and one person did this, one person did that, you know, and it could get screwed up. But you don't work like that at all. Everybody's just into their own thing. Is that right?
Thankfully, yes. I've never really liked the chains because it some often gets broken.
Anybody else here ever worked on a team where one person wasn't holding up their weight?
Yeah.
Pulling their weight?
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy first. What'd you do? It wasn't you, right?
You know what? I learned from it. I complained to my manager, and I was looked at as the whiner. So
what'd you say to the manager?
No.
I was very blunt. This person is not, you know, doing her job.
And
well,
did you specify exactly what was going wrong?
It was a team effort on recruiting for a hard-to-fill position.
Yeah.
And they were not doing anything. And it was a virtual position. And you could tell there was no output from this person. So then it was put upon me to manage that person and get them to work. And that's not really that wasn't my job.
You didn't have the
and
authority.
Now I'm learning to keep
okay.
quiet.
Who else? Yeah. Who is next? Kathy, I'm not cutting you off. I just heard enough about that, okay?
That's
so
fine.
Who's next?
I'm done with it.
Somebody
Alan.
Else has something. Alan?
What
happened? Well, I, like, you know what?
I, like Kathy,
no
I learned, but
show?
Also I just
I
also
drag
tried...
everything out of everybody. You know,
no.
The guest comes on, the first thing he says, I'm an introvert. Don't expect anything from me. And nobody else is saying anything either.
You speak up, and you also let the manager. You don't attack the manager like and become a pariah. Like Kathy said, you kind of question them and ask them and guide them and then let them come to the conclusion.
What did you
that,
do? Did you complain about somebody? And who got
yep.
stung in the end? You or him?
They got stung, but I was seen as a bitch and whiner.
Okay, so it's really not a good idea to speak up if someone's not doing their work correctly, right?
Yeah, and I'd ask Eric, with all those people, how many of them actually do a good job?
Thankfully, I'm removed enough, I don't know what anybody does.
Okay, yeah. You know what? I also read yesterday that hookup culture takes women off the mommy track into the career track because it separates sex from family. You think that's going to affect work in the future? No takers, okay. Now, Marissa Meyer waited until her CMO, I don't even know what a CMO is, but this CMO.
Chief Marketing Officer.
Okay, the CMO went on vacation. She's at the beach. And the boss, the new boss, fires her while she's away. That either means she's too chicken to fire her face-to-face, or she's just cruel. Anybody got a comment on that? What would you do if you were, you know, working with a manager? You did a reference check, and one of the references said, you know, I don't really like this person because that's what they did. They fired people when they went away. Eric, what would you do?
Well,
Eric,
if I called and got a reference and someone said a manager tend to get rid of people when they're gone,
I would
definitely say that's a flag that the person doesn't have not only the I guess social skills to be able to do it, but also doesn't have kind of the balls to do it in person either. So I mean it's one of those things where it just doesn't. That doesn't work for a manager. That's a poor manager.
So how would you
manager.
Handle that? Would you still send the person on to the hiring manager with a caution, or would you just rule them out?
I'd go to somebody else. I could find a better manager than that.
Anybody else got a comment? She's probably making $1 million a year at Yahoo, by the way. Anybody else got a comment on that?
No.
Stupidity seems to be rewarded more these
Okay, so let me ask you the standard questions, Eric. How did you become a recruiter? Is there a good story there? Should we pass on that one?
I just kind of fell into it. Basically, I was back in the day. I got out of school.
That's not a good sentence to use, back in the day.
Yeah, well, I got out of school with a degree in accounting, basically. Went into audit, didn't like it. And then one of the firms that was looking for odd jobs for me said, well, if you want to totally change careers, you can try accounting. We need somebody. I'm not accounting, but you can try recruiting. We need somebody here. And I kind of went with it. So I fell into it. I didn't really
And yeah, but
think
you stuck
that,
with it. What is it? Are you a good recruiter? You want to rate yourself good, bad, or mediocre?
I would say above average. I'm a pretty good recruiter,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Is
there anything that differentiates you from other recruiters?
You
can say I'm a standard recruiter.
I would say I'm probably better at doing a lot more complex searches and then digging through data quickly to find decent
people.
So
what's a complex search? What do you mean by that? What's a complex search?
Well, usually my Boolean searches just about max out how much space is allowed. I mean, I have a lot of terms.
Okay. And do they work?
I think so.
Okay, so
you're
a better online sourcer than the average recruiter. Is that what you just told me?
The average corporate recruiter, I'm probably a better sourcer, yeah.
Yeah, online sourcer. Jerry, do you have any questions? The guy's doing IT. He's focusing heavily, it sounds like, on online sourcing. Do you have any questions about that since you're doing much the same thing?
No.
No, nobody's got any questions. Okay.
Well, I think we all just do our own thing. So, you know, having questions for somebody that's doing what I do, I...
You might want to find out what he's doing better than you so you could improve. But, you know, far be it from me to tell you that you need to improve. Okay.
Yes.
Adam, we'll turn mic on.
What?
Yeah.
You know what? I was trying to make a comment earlier, and I was off when he was talking about it.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
When he was talking about, you were talking about the CMO being fired where they were on vacation. I wanted to make a quick comment and say that about 16 years ago, when my branch manager was fired while she was on vacation and her stuff was packed for her, that was when I made the decision to become self-employed.
I see.
In this business.
Yeah. Daryl Disco said something funny. He said, this show needs a defibrillator. Call in then. Pick up the phone. Maybe he can't call New York. It's, you know,
I would agree there, man. Right on, Daryl. Right on.
Well, somebody add a little something. I'm trying as hard as I can. What's that? What's that? I'm paddling as fast as I can.
Okay. You know, Animal, I've been back for 3 or 4 weeks now, and I've come to the conclusion that you need a booker.
A booker or a hooker? Okay.
Well, you probably need both. But.
Okay, well, maybe. Listen, Eric volunteered himself, and this is what he told me, I think, on Twitter. He said, I can talk. I have a lot of tough stuff to say about job boards and ATS. Eric, you can pick your favorite topics. You told me those are, you're really good on those.
Well, probably the thing I've been focusing on most lately is just how awful the average job post is. Most people are posting job descriptions, and they alone suck. I mean, I would say in all my years of recruiting, every time I talk to the hiring manager, you know, 3 times out of 4, it's totally wrong. And yet, as an industry, we keep posting these freaking things, and it's just awful.
I don't understand. You mean you're getting job descriptions that are not accurate from the hiring manager?
I had a job description that was supposedly updated a couple of years ago from a company that they said, yeah, this is freshly updated, and it was wrong for the person we needed to hire.
Yeah, okay, so why didn't you just go to the hiring manager and say, I need a rewrite on this? This is not accurate.
Well, that's basically what I did is I went to the hiring manager and said, hey, we need a rewrite on this. And he came back with, well, we just updated it. And I went, well, yeah, but it's wrong. And
okay,
and
are hiring managers the stupidest people in the world? It's kind of a general survey question I ask everybody.
No.
I would say they're not stupid, but they maybe not. They might not understand the recruiting hiring side very well, and could probably learn a few things from their recruiters.
Okay, so do you press back? Do you push back when they give you ridiculous assignments? People who
I do.
You never. And what do you say to them? Give me an example. Did you bring us a story?
I
don't know. Everybody's always pushing these behavioral interview questions. I ask all the time, do you remember a time when? Nobody ever remembers. I don't get it.
Can I ask a question?
Why does somebody else have this success with
that? Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Are you an agency recruiter or an internal corporate guy?
Oh, wake up, Jerry.
Internal corporate, but I would say I left the agency side probably 6 years ago.
Okay.
What question did I just ask him?
The question you asked is what would I do to push back? And I was recruiting for an IT person that needed the hiring manager insisted they needed this WebSphere certification that was fairly recent, and the guy would not budge. I mean, he goes, "We desperately need someone that's certified." And I went on to the job boards and did some research, found out, you know, there's only like 3 people in the state of Minnesota that had this certification that were listing their resume. LinkedIn was pretty much not no one came up for that. So basically I just kind of went back with all the data and I said, you know, you can either go to an agency, pay big bucks, probably wait several months to have them find somebody. You can wait for us to find somebody, but like I said, there's not a lot. And I basically just kept pushing back and said, you know, how about we just train one of our senior Java people and get them certified and backfill their job.
You know what? You're putting everybody to sleep. Help me. I'm drowning, Eric. Please.
Well, you know, you asked for a story.
I've
Come
got
on.
My regulars. There's people who are listening on the – they're on the line right now, but on Twitter they're saying I'm falling asleep. This show's boring. And somebody else comes on and says, did I miss anything? I'm late. And they say no. Help me. Come on.
That was a crappy question, Animal. I mean, you asked for a story, and they're all boring when it comes to, did you push back on a manager? And pushing
now
back on a man who's
sweat,
never excited.
Never sweat, it says. I can't hear this guy. Speak up. That's because you're on a cell phone. You work on a cell phone?
I'm not on a cell phone. It's VoIP.
Oy vey. Do you work on that?
I do.
Oh, jeez.
It's not bad, animal.
You, well, I got to help on Twitter. They're saying they can't hear him, okay? It's not just me. Anyway, let me go on. Let me ask you, what's a question that's going to turn you on? I mean, I don't care if it's about your personal life. Look, listen, I noticed one of your followers is a guy named Ritesh5300. Here's his bio. Hi, I am Ritesh Kumar Mishra. I have completed Bachelor of Engineering degree, Electronics and Communication. Still, I am pursuing in .NET. Does grammar affect the hireability of someone in IT? That's the question I'm putting to you right now. Eric Putty Putkonen.
Absolutely, it affects it. I mean, I would say most of the hiring managers say they want decent communication skills, and if they can't speak in, I mean, decent grammar, you can forget about probably the interview.
Jerry, do you agree with him? Jerry, you're
kinda,
my fallback guy. You're in the same business as
him. I might kind of disagree. A lot of these guys, I mean, they're paid for what they can do on the computer, not so much in a boardroom.
Yeah.
I've placed guys with all kinds of weirdness in their dialect and speech. No biggie.
Okay, so still I am pursuing diploma in .NET. Bad word order, but I can understand what it means, and that's what all that counts for you. Right, Jer?
Well, it's not nearly as hard to place a guy with poor communication skills as it is a guy afflicted with ADD or gout or any of your other unmentionable disabilities.
Okay, Eric Putty Putkonen, you RT'd a tweet from Career Action that said a resume should not read like a tombstone. People are telling me this show reads like a tombstone or sounds like one, but why not? What does that mean that a record should not read, a resume shouldn't read like a tombstone? It's a record of your past. What did you mean by that? Why did you RT it?
Well, many resumes are just outright boring in the list of facts, and everybody wants to see a little bit of who they are, just not a list of facts. Personal branding is fairly important and becoming more important these days. And I don't care if it means you're somebody with personality and can talk, or you're more, you know, you're more introverted and have a stamp collection or something. I don't know. But you need to have a little bit of who you are in your resume. It shouldn't be not real, more living, not dead.
Okay, you know, Daryl Disco, I already asked him about Ann Romney. I didn't get anywhere with that, right? Karen Seawack, resume strategy. She says I'm asking stupid questions. The other guy says I'm asking recruiting questions. Come on, I'm doing a great job. I just need some support. Okay, anyway. So what does personal branding mean that's going to liven up that resume? What's personal about a resume? I just want to see what the guy has in terms of his skills or her skills. And especially in IT, you just want to see what languages he's got, right, and how long he's worked with them. Am I right or wrong about that?
To a point. But you get on, but we all know that if you're sorting through a stack of 100 resumes, what's going to distinguish that one from everybody else? The skills alone aren't enough.
Uh-huh.
If the person has some kind of specialty, something that
okay, you know what?
Better
when you
at
do,
than somebody
when
else.
You advertise, do you advertise on job boards primarily?
Sometimes.
Okay, well, you said you do these Boolean searches, so you source candidates online. Do you phone them up directly?
Yes.
Okay, hey, let's talk about your cold call. What do you say when you get somebody on the phone?
Oh, no. That's where we are, role-playing cold calls.
Look, everybody hang up.
God.
I don't care. I don't want to hear your complaints. Help me. Help me improve. I get the message. You don't like the way I'm running this show? That's okay. Help me improve or hang up. I'm not forcing you to stick around, okay?
I'm contractually obligated to stay on this line until the after show.
You're kind of right. Otherwise, you can't do your after show.
Right.
But other people, they're not you. If you're the only one here for the after show, that's good for you. You can hang up faster. But
I am
in the meantime,
now on,
I'm trying to make the show work, and I don't need any more complaints. I need help. If you
I
want to help me, fine.
I am now scrolling through my cell phone on the movie phone app,
yeah,
trying to find if Obama 2016 is playing anywhere tonight.
Okay.
Heck of a movie.
Okay, so what about the cold call there? Eric, you had a few minutes to think about it. What do you say? Talk
That's going to be freaking boring as anything else.
I want to hear. Our job has to do with words. And some people like Jerry, they're wordsmiths. They know how to talk.
Animal. It's all we've got.
Right, Jer. I'm agreeing with you. I want this guy to share with me, just in case. I know he's an introvert, but maybe he says something good. I'd like to learn from him. I'd like the chance to do so. So please, Eric, just tell me what you say. I want to know if it's nothing special, and I want to know what kind of results you get.
Well, usually
talk
I'll just
loud. I can't hear you, and C. Sweat told me she can't hear you either.
I can hear you.
Everybody else can hear me. What's the problem here?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just
good
go
pushback,
ahead.
Eric. Great pushback.
I mean, but anyways, if I was going to cold call somebody that I found on the internet, you know, it's usually to a specific opportunity that fits their background, and then I'll call and ask them if they might know of somebody who might be a fit, because I don't want to sell to them directly. I get shot down too often for that. But if I ask them if they know somebody. If they're interested, they'll let me know, and if they know somebody, they'll let me know.
So they don't really realize that you're trying to recruit them. They fall for that stupid ploy. Is that right?
It seems to work, yes.
Okay. Now, they don't know you from Adam. How do you get the – what do you actually say to get the referral out of them? How successful are you at getting referrals?
I would say I don't get a lot of referrals. Most of the people I find directly.
Okay. You know what, C-Sweat, you can call back in 15 or 20 minutes and you can have the after show. You don't have to. Or maybe that's Jerry you're just quoting. Anyway, look, tell me what you say so I can improve my referral ratio.
I just said I don't get a lot of referrals.
Oh, I thought you just said you were very successful. So you don't get referrals, and do these guys say, well, do they put their hands up and say, me, I'm the guy you want?
Yes.
Oh, they do. What percentage of the time do they do that, do you think?
I have no idea, but I usually find a couple of people that I need. I mean, it's
this poor guy, man. Okay, he volunteers to be on your show. It's no secret. You're struggling to find guests. You've got one, and you're just lambasting this poor dude.
Well, no, I'm not.
Okay?
I want to know what he does and how successful he is.
I don't know if I can keep participating in this bashing of just helpless dudes week after week.
You know what? He told me on Twitter he's ready to come in and go crazy about certain topics. And then he
and
comes
we haven't
on and tells
really
me he's an introvert,
them.
Okay? What can I
you
do about
really
that?
You haven't really covered those topics. You're going on to, what do you do for your cold call? That's
yeah, cold call. We don't need
actually,
cold call, man.
You know what? Don't listen to Jerry. I'm finding this interesting. So you say, hi, Schmo, my name is Eric Putkonen. Is that what you say?
I usually don't use my last name.
My name's
Good
Eric?
Good call.
Yep.
What do you say? Why do I have to get it out of you word for word? Can't you just tell me your cold call, your standard call?
Because I don't use a script.
Yeah!
What do you do? What do you do? Please, don't make me force you to tell me. You tell me. You offered to come on.
Dude,
talk
it sounds like you are forcing him to tell you.
I am, but I shouldn't be. Right?
Why don't you ask him about job boards or ATSs again?
Yes.
Are there any good free ATSs?
You know, I haven't really seen any really good ones, but there's some contenders if they brush up a bit more.
Okay. I need one.
You know what? I'm getting some questions for you on Twitter, but please answer my question. I like to hear how people cold call. Why can't you just tell me?
Because off the top of my head, I don't have a job. I don't have a script, man. I mean, I do it totally for the scenario.
Okay.
You sound like the dude.
Guy can't tell me his cold call.
This aggression will not stand, man.
Okay. So what about handwritten cards and letters? Do you really appreciate it when someone sends you something that's handwritten as opposed to an email? You know, let's say you interview somebody and they get back to you. What's your feeling about that?
well, when I receive the handwritten stuff, it's like, oh, that's cool, but it doesn't do anything for them. It doesn't get them a spot or anything. I mean, it could have been an email just as well.
Okay, you know what? And these career coaches keep telling you over and over again, the handwritten stuff has a special impact. Does anybody here agree with Eric, who actually agrees with me, or want to take the other point of view?
I like a handwritten letter. It just doesn't happen often.
Yeah, he said he likes it too, but it doesn't have any influence on the placement process. Does it influence you? Do you say, I want to put this guy forward?
Doesn't influence me.
Okay.
I'm not a hiring manager.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, when you recruit somebody, when you're recruiting and you get a letter, I've never once said, well, I was thinking about tossing this guy. I'm now going to include him because I got a handwritten something. That's never happened.
Or I'm on his side. No. Doesn't make you in his put you in his corner, does it?
No.
Okay. Do you have any specific productivity tips that you might share with us other recruiters?
Productivity tips?
Yeah.
Get on the phone!
Well, getting on the phone would work, but I would say automate as much as possible, too. I mean, there's lots of ways to have alerts and stuff set up so you don't have to do the work. It comes to you.
Give me an example.
Well, I know a lot of my peers don't, even though they have access to Monster or something like that, they don't use the alert. So when someone matches a list of criteria they have, the resume is just simply emailed to them daily. They don't do that.
Okay. And your company pays for access to Monster for you?
Yes.
And what do you think? What kind of results do you get from them?
I would say it's pretty good results. It's a lot of it's just sourcing and keeping track of the names because I tend to be doing a lot more recruiting right now on a very specialized area of like Epic, and these people are hiding. So if I happen to find a resume on Monster, they're probably not looking right now, but I'm able to find out when their contract ends or grab them later.
When you say they're hiding, what does that mean? They're just not putting themselves forward?
Yeah, they don't really apply. They often don't mention they have Epic even in their LinkedIn profile. They are actively hiding as opposed to being even remotely listing themselves in the public view.
That's interesting. Okay, what about counteroffers? I saw an article online today, again, a recruiter warning everybody, don't accept a counteroffer. They're really just desperate, so they're going to keep you short term and then get rid of you. What's your take on that? Because you're inside a company. Have you ever seen a counteroffer made? And I'm wondering what the results were.
Actually, I've never worked for a company yet or been with a hiring manager that has made a counteroffer. I know of people that have received counteroffers. My point of view is I don't know if the counteroffer is something I would take and think I'm going to stay with the company for a long time, because if they actually thought I was worth this, why didn't they pay me this before I threatened to leave? That kind of thing.
Have you ever had to say that to a candidate? You got somebody, and at the last minute he says, Eric, I'm not sure. I got a counteroffer. The money's pretty good. I like it here. They need me. Have you ever dealt with that situation?
Only once or twice, actually, recently. And I pretty much I found an article that was an article of why not to accept counteroffers, and I highlighted the fact that, hey, you may think they need you, but now that you've threatened to leave and they're paying you more to keep you, they could have paid that to you before.
Okay, so you rehash the standard stuff.
Go back to their original reasons for wanting to leave their job to begin with and say, remind them of that.
Okay, sorry, there's a few people who want to talk, and their mics are closed. Derek Zeller from last week, welcome to the show. Are you here? Or from 2 weeks ago, sorry. Are you here? I opened all the lines. Are you here? Okay, he's writing on Twitter that opened my line, man. So I've opened three lines. Does anybody want to talk who hasn't had a chance to speak yet? I'm begging you. I'd love to hear from you. Yeah, fine. Thanks, making noises. Okay, what about metrics? What about metrics? Do you count anything?
Excellent question. Now we're getting there.
We do count cost of hire, time to fill, you know, a lot of the standard stuff. I'm not totally convinced the metrics are quite right, because I would like to see metrics that can be converted into actual dollars, where you could actually bring it to management and say, you know, if we don't shorten our time to fill, this is what it will cost us. If we don't increase our salary, this is what it will cost us. You know, the metrics are mostly time to fill and cost per hire, by and large, and it's inadequate.
Eric, how do they figure cost to hire? Because really, HR group put together this weird equation, but when you look at it, it's only really taking in consideration what it costs to pay you and the administrators and a few other things. It doesn't figure in what you're talking about, the lost opportunity costs. So really, aren't they just looking at a bad number?
I think it's a bad number, yeah, because they're just keeping track of the administrators and recruiters' time and anything, the job posts or you know, other expenses. But they're not keeping track of any of the opportunity costs of delayed hiring decision by managers and fallout and things like that.
Yeah, because Google calculated it could cost up to $100 million in lost opportunity cost on one person over the course of their career.
Huh? Yep. Okay. How many calls per day? Do you track that?
No.
Why not?
The last time I've seen tracking calls per day, I was on the agency side. Corporate side typically doesn't do that.
Okay. Anybody got a comment on that? No? Comment? No? What about your favorite reference questions? Do you have any? I'm running through every aspect of recruiting looking for something you want to talk about.
How about the list that I gave you?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yay.
Reference question, I don't do anything special to ask them for references other than I usually coach them to go, make sure they know that they're going to be giving a reference and make sure you know it's going to be a good reference, because occasionally I've called and then I've gotten bad references and I'm totally surprised. Because you think references are from people that you know and trust they're going to give you a good one.
No, absolutely not. That's totally absurd. The guy or the girl, you say, look, I want to know who your last manager was, and maybe I want some people who worked with you as well. They can't choose their own people. I don't want to talk to their best friend. I want to talk to the manager. I want to talk to someone else on the team. They don't give me your grandmother's number or this guy's I've known him since he was in kindergarten. No, I get all kinds of bad references. And you know what? When I first call, they don't want to give me the truth usually. But if you ask a few follow-up questions, most people aren't prepared to hide. They fess up right away. Now, listen, this is what you told me. You said, I'm a 10-year recruiter. I have plenty that owns MinnesotaTechJobs.com. I have plenty to say about job descriptions suck. You said it in a minute. ATS sucks.
No, I didn't say it in a minute. We started getting the this is boring, and you changed topics.
Okay, you go into it. Go in. I've given you. Here's your topics. You got 20 minutes. Job descriptions suck. ATS sucks. Video job descriptions and job boards. Four things. 5 minutes each. Go ahead.
Let's see here. Well. Is anybody out there actually think their ATS is good? I have not yet heard one person say an ATS is good, but my complaint in particular is they're getting seriously outdated in an old, I guess, paradigm. Like, I recruit right now for a lot of remote or telecommute jobs, and the ATS freaking requires me to put a state and city in.
Yep.
And, of course, this confuses the candidate when they turn around and apply and go, well, I don't want to work at this location. I couldn't put no location.
Yeah.
Silence. Yeah. Dead silence.
Dead.
You know what? So, I mean, you did liven up. I got to tell you, you were a little more passionate about that. So I
believe. Let's talk about MinnesotaTechJobs.com. What's going on there? What do you do with it? What's the action? Do you like it? Are you getting results? How much time do you spend maintaining this daily, weekly? What's your goal with it?
Is that what you're interested in, Jerry?
What?
Is that what you want to know?
Yeah, I want to know. I'm looking at it.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just checking it out.
But you know what? Okay, you want to talk about your job board, or do you want to talk about one of those four things we just discussed?
I'll answer Jerry with a quick synopsis. It's been around for a year. It's maybe an hour or two a day, a few hours a week total. I do have a part-time employee doing research for me, so I'm out of the equation mostly. It's still steadily growing. It's starting to go into the black where I'm making money instead of spending to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
And all's good.
Do you know Paul DeBenignes?
I know Paul DeBenignes.
Yeah, you have to if you're a recruiter in Minnesota.
I mean, is he kind of the ringleader of all tech recruiters? I mean, his handle is Minnesota Tech Recruiter.
Yep.
Do you guys ever butt heads or fight over territory?
No, not really. He's an IT recruiter on the agency side. We've got a lot of common thought on how the process sucks and is broken in so many ways. But he's kind of brought Minnesota recruiters together and created a recruiters conference. And, you know, he's been trying to maintain that. He's stepping back right now. But, you know, he's been kind of a ringleader for IT recruiters for a while.
Okay. Go Paul.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Good guy, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a shame that, you know, when he originally started doing these recruiting conferences and stuff, he would swear and he was dressed very casual. Mm-hmm. And then the last conference, he was in a suit and didn't swear at all. And
really?
I kind of missed the fact that we could count how many times he'd swear during the day. It was kind of fun.
He used to swear in public even?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
He's trying to get married now.
He was really relaxed originally, and then he got in a suit and cleaned up. And it might have been for people like you, Jerry, that didn't like that, so he cleaned it all up.
Could be. Yeah. Okay. Now back to you, Animal.
Video job descriptions, does that turn you on?
You know, video job descriptions do turn me on because as it's going to get more and more difficult to find candidates, candidates I know in particular, the biggest thing they want to know is who's my manager, what's like in the department, what's it like to work for the company, and the videos can give a quick couple minute synopsis of this is what it's like, this is your manager, and it's kind of a nice transparency feature. On the reverse side, I don't like video resumes. Video resumes are sucking and are a bad idea.
Jerry, Jerry doesn't like video anything, right?
Jerry's just into the verbal side of things.
Yeah, okay. You know, everybody's dropping here. Now,
I think he was following Kathy's question.
You know what?
If you ever have to use the bedroom.
Yeah, okay, so long. I've got some questions about video. So what do you do? Do you do the video yourself, Eric, or do you get the hiring manager to do the video?
I wouldn't ask the hiring manager to do the video. I know that actually when I was on contract at Deluxe, we had a kind of an intern or, you know, a talent community intern show up with the video camera and just do a quick interview with the hiring manager for 3 minutes.
Yep.
And it was minimal editing. I mean, it was – if there was a long pause or an or whatever, you know, we might be able to edit it out. But it was pretty much – straight from the lips of the hiring manager, seeing the office, maybe a coworker. It was kind of I like those.
And do you think it actually you brought some people in, or where did you post that? On your website, your company job board?
Deluxe had posted it on their Facebook, on their Twitter, all over. I mean, they got some recognition by companies in Minnesota for what they were doing in that area.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't really so much to bring people in as maybe reel them in once they're already in the process. And
what issues do you cover in those things? What does the hiring manager talk about in those things?
Well, A lot of times, you know, you could ask questions to the hiring manager like, you know, what is it that you are really looking for that, you know, isn't really listed in the job description? Maybe you could ask him what's his management style, things like that, something a prospective employee might want to know about their, potential manager. And, I mean, why they came to the company, why they stay, what is it, you know, they really like about the company, what is the opportunity to get to offer, what kind of cool technology they might be able to use or whatever makes them special. I'm surprised at how many companies and even hiring managers can't answer the question, why should I work for you? I mean, it's for years and years and years, I keep hearing hiring managers or recruiting managers say, recruiting is a sales job, but if it's a sales job, why don't you know the unique selling proposition? Why can't you say why I should work for you and not your guy across the street?
And what would you usually, what do you want them to say? What's the proper answer?
There's no proper answer. It depends on the company, the department, and things like that. But I would say, you know, when I was the Nerdery, for example. The Nerdery is here in Minneapolis. In their list of perks, a long list of perks, they mention they're dog friendly. There's dogs in the office. And I told them during a conference they should make a much bigger deal out of that because it's a distinguishing characteristic. If you love your dog and wish you could go to the office with your dog, this might sound like a great opportunity. But if you're a cat person or someone with allergies, you're not going to want to work there.
Uh-huh.
And this is something to get people to self-select out if they're not a fit. And if they are a fit, they'll make them more excited. And so that's the kind of stuff you want to capture, the stuff that will send the people you don't want away and bring the ones you want to you.
Okay, can you use a flip video, the, you know, $100 job, or do you need a fancy video camera?
You know, I wouldn't use a flip cam only because it doesn't have an audio input. I would use a Kodak ZI-80 or something like that. The Kodak's got a style of flip cams that has an audio input.
Audio
so
input,
you can have
yep.
So you can have an external microphone. It's much higher audio quality.
And, yeah, the production values that you're talking about when you post these things online, you're not, you know, we're not going for HD broadcast quality. It's just, you know, simple web and mobile browser stuff. We've had very, very good success with the video job descriptions over here. So I'm a big fan.
Really? Who does them for you, Dr. Nick?
Depends on the client. Sometimes they hand out cameras and just say, go make your films people here and see what they get. Other times they've had full-on professional stuff, and there are several companies out there that do the full professional services, both focusing in the job industry as well as outside of it, just media production companies that could be hired.
And how expensive how long are they? 3 minutes tops? You guys?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you can't go over 3 to 5 minutes. Ideally, you're looking at under 3 minutes. You want something that you can very quickly address, get up there, and get down.
Yep.
The attention span of most people, if you have anything that's more than the 3 to 5 minute range, you are not going to get any response.
Dealer Tire in Cleveland has done some great video job stuff. Fantastic. Look them up. Dealer Tire.
That's our friend Frankie Zupan, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, Eric, still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah, you know, just like with the handwritten note, it doesn't influence you. What about a limp handshake? Would that actually influence your take on the person?
I'm not so sure it would bias me, but if they go on to the hiring manager, it may bias them.
You mean they'd actually turn down somebody because of the handshake?
It's
disgusting. I got to tell you, a limp handshake is disgusting. I don't care if it's on a man or a woman. Then you want to know there's somebody on the other end, and often there isn't. So I understand it's disgusting, but if the person's got what you're looking for, how important is it going to be?
Yeah, unless handshakes are part of their job, I mean, I don't think it really matters. But I've seen a hiring manager turn down a candidate because they didn't show up to the interview with a clipboard and a pencil. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Really?
So, hey, we had a follow-up question that was here, which was, why do you think that video resumes suck? And aside from Jerry's comment that most people are not hot.
Yeah. Do you have an answer for that, Eric?
Yes, I do. As a recruiter, and I'm, you know, I receive, you know, let's say 50 to 100 applicants, my initial review is I need to be able to see everything in like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The initial review is I'm trying to pull the top 10 to 20 people out of this stack.
Mm-hmm.
The video resume doesn't let me do this. The video resume makes me have to watch their freaking thing, and I don't want to do that. Now, after the initial review, then I go in more deeply. Well, the resume has already told me what I needed, and I'm either going to interview them or not. So the video resume, all that will do, if anything, is tell me I need to remove them for consideration because they screwed up in some way. It wouldn't get them an interview. And then, of course, you have the whole storage aspect of companies need to store applicants, and now you got to store all this video? I mean, no way.
That was good. You're warming up, and the show's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
Got another 5 minutes. What do you want to talk about now?
let's see here. Any other questions?
You source people. You do a lot of sourcing. What about the sourcing tools? And what about sites? Like, do you use GitHub, or have you ever heard of TalentBin? Peter Cassangi, he's a favorite alumnus of the show. Would you consider using something like that, or Repify, or Broadcom with
You know, Animal, I haven't used any of the sourcing tools, and
yeah.
I haven't been at a company that's willing to basically pay for any of them. So
why are they cheap? It sounds like you've got 70 recruiters; they could probably get a pretty good price. Make it worthwhile.
Well,
you can't say, I don't want you to get fired, okay? I don't want you to criticize your own company while you're still there. Mind you, your LinkedIn profile was kind of unique. You're the only person I've ever seen with a full-time permanent job who right in the center of his summary has a detailed description of his dream job. Just like, hire me, call me. Does your boss mind that? Or do they not look?
No, I haven't had anybody mind. But it's more of a dream where I'd like to be in my career, which could be at where I'm currently at or another location. So,
it doesn't suggest that you're currently there. You're saying, this is where I want to be. Everybody, only an idiot would think that you're there, and you're saying, this is my dream job. You didn't say, I'm currently in my dream job. You said, this is my dream job. That's what I dream about at night. Okay?
Well, I'm currently not a recruiting manager that's kind of redeveloping a system. That's what I'd like to be at.
Okay, would you advise other people to do what you've done, or is that kind of risky?
It is a little risky, but it's amazing how many compliments I've gotten by people saying they like the fact that I said what I wanted at some point
in
the future.
Yeah, what people? What people? Other people who are going to recruit you or hire you or nobodies?
Other recruiters.
Okay, yeah. Okay, now look, I just want to know something. How do you – you're not a techie yourself, are you? You're not a computer – you're an accounting guy, you said, not a technical IT guy, right?
I'm fairly techie. When I was in college, they thought I was an IT major because I spent so much time in the computer lab.
Okay, so if what I'm asking is, how do you assess the candidate's technical ability since, you know, you're not in that person's field, but maybe you are. Maybe I've got you wrong.
I know enough to probably assess, but I also don't know enough where they might be able to snowblow me a little bit and cover up what they don't have.
Uh-huh.
So to a certain extent, it's just kind of talking with them and delving into a bit more of the details of, you know, this is our issue, how would you kind of handle it, and find a little bit more about what their skills might be.
Okay, but it sounds like you have to pass them on to another interviewer, the hiring manager, to really drill down and test. Am I right?
Well, right now, it's I interview, and then it goes to a tech screen with someone on the team.
Okay. What about your gut? In IT recruiting, does the gut play any role at all? Because it plays a role for me.
The gut in what aspect?
You have a good feel about this person.
Yeah, I've had good feelings and bad feelings about people, so yeah, I'd say the gut does play a role.
Uh-huh.
But I do also give some benefit of the doubt as well. So I kind of it's a fine tight wire, but I try to balance the two.
Okay, two people just came on. Time's almost gone. Do you have anything to say before we move on, or did you call in for Jerry? You don't have to answer.
We know why they came on, dude.
Yeah, that's okay, Jerry. I don't mind. I think you
it's
got a great
kind of
show.
It's kind of a popular show.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, Eric, I have to congratulate you. You know, it only took you 45 minutes to warm up, okay? You've become a good conversationalist. If you would have started talking like this at the beginning, I wouldn't have had to scream.
Yep.
I still would have had some callers on the line, okay?
Yep.
Animal.
Yeah?
I have to go, but my son told me to tell you that you woke him up before I did with your screaming.
Well, I'm glad. I served somebody. Greetings to your son. Have a nice day, Kathy. And last question for my good friend Putty here, Eric Putkonen.
Yep.
Any tips for other recruiters?
Tips for a recruiter would be probably learn some copywriting skills.
Nice to meet you, Eric. Thank you.
What was that guy's Twitter handle?
E. Putkonen.
Okay. Putkonen. Okay. We are going to jump right to the scores, and we'll see if there's any chit-chat follow-up and discussion after the fact. It's a busy day here in the middle of Indiana. Just busy, busy. Nick, scores?
Oh, I got to go with 36 for Animal because he just wasn't focused on the questions that were going to get the results. And I'll go with 70 for the guest. He pushed back appropriately, but at the same time also didn't push back. So I can't go above 70 for that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 72. 72. We'll double Animal's score. 72.
All right. See, now that is a guy that really is trying to give the right score. I appreciate it. All right. And Kathy split before we even got her scores.
I'm here. I'm just
going out. That was the fake leave. I'm with you. Yeah.
I just noticed a dent in my car. Whoa.
Goodness, really?
Yeah.
And what's your score on that dent?
It's a bummer.
Gosh. Yes, you did dent it.
No, I didn't, Mom. I didn't hit it on any.
Oh, God.
You're going to have to let us go before the beating commences. Okay?
Yeah, you don't want that on recording.
Kathy, we'll come back to you.
Okay, well, you drove my car last. Anyway, I give the guest a 70 as well. I thought, you know, it wasn't his fault he was boring. And Animal a 30 because he did not draw out any exciting information. That's his job.
Okay.
In my dented car.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks, Kathy.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Anybody else with us, or is it a slow day on the after show? I think a lot of people are really busy right now. Nick, Kathy, it's just the three of us? Wow.
How you doing, Jerry?
Derek?
Yeah, it's me.
Brother.
In the flush.
Nice. I see they're trying to turn you into an Iron Curtain fan or Steel Curtain fan over there.
Yeah, I came home last night. My neighbor dropped off two tickets to the Steelers game tomorrow night, so it's going to be a first time.
All right. I love an NFL game. It's a good time.
Yeah, that ought to be good.
Do you have a score for us?
Right away. I'll give Animal a 57, and I'll give the guest a 52.
Really?
Yeah,
so you're not going to lay as much of the blame on Animal as you are then the guest.
Well, I think he was reaching. I think he was. I think he was really trying to draw some things out. I think the guest. I don't think he was. He wasn't really exciting enough to really bring his game to the team, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. All right. How's your job going over there?
It's doing well, my friend.
Good deal. Need any contract developers over there?
No, not anything going on right now. So.
All right, then we're gonna have to let you go, Derek.
All right, take care.
I'm just kidding you, man.
Wow.
Oh, geez, boy. Goodness.
Well, I'm doing great things. Saving tons of money doing what I love.
All right. Super. Anybody else with us? Nick, Kathy, Derek, and me. Really? Well, I guess that kind of sums it up. We're all busy, and that's about it. So thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for doing the after show.
How's business, Nick?
It's actually pretty good. I actually am no longer in recruiting, though.
Really?
I'm now doing quality assurance for parent company. So I'm a QA guy now.
With, like, software QA or?
Yeah, software QA. So.
Automated testing?
I'm evaluating different platforms this week. You betcha. That's part of it.
Runner, WinRunner, Mercury Test Suite, all that.
You named off a few of them, sure.
All right.
So, yeah, I've been looking at those and a couple others. My compatriot will be starting up here shortly, and once we get going, we'll start hammering on our software platform formally. I've always been doing alpha and beta testing and, unofficial QA, so now it's all official. So.
All right. Very
but
cool.
That means that I won't be involved in the recruiting strategy or advertising anymore. So that's kind of
bummer.
A sad day. Yeah,
sad day. I'm sad.
But
I'm sad right now.
It's going pretty well. So I can't argue with that too much. We'll see. I think that stuff's going to explode after the election, no matter which way it goes. I just think that a lot of companies are kind of holding their cards to see how things will play out.
Yeah, I'm about ready for this election to just get done, man.
I heard that.
I mean, it's like, who is still undecided here? Okay.
The four people in Maine who haven't seen ads yet.
Right. It's crazy. All right, brother. Well, I got to roll, and take her easy.
Take care.
Have a good day.